Blog Talk Radio.
I had to get a little British. Joe Cocker's British, right?
Is he?
Isn't Joe Cocker British?
Is that the voice of...
No,
he's not British.
Oh, where's he from, Steve?
Not from Britain.
Iowa?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to now look where Joe Cocker's from. Hal.
Is he British?
He's an English rock blues musician.
Yeah.
Where's English?
Is
Sheffield, England, maybe, Steve?
The United Kingdom is correct.
Told you. I'm getting a little Joey Cocker on this show.
Okay.
A little British.
A little Joey Cocker.
Hey, believe it or not, Steve, he's British.
Is he?
Hello.
Oh, my God.
Luisi, I can hear an echo because you're in the room.
You want to introduce the show?
By the way, www.thematthewaronshow.com.
Best show ever.
At Matt Aaron Show, Matthew Aaron on Facebook. I am sitting next to...
Hey, Lee Capreas, hello.
And...
Steve Weirich.
Thank you.
Your erection for sticking it to people is so disgusting.
You like that?
You would rather just rip on people than even introduce your own show.
I can't...
Who was a ripping on Joe Cocker?
No, me.
Oh.
You're the one that told me for sure Joe Cocker was not English.
All right.
Okay, well, this is really going to be fucked up.
What?
I have a wedding Friday.
Oh,
we have a show from 6 to 8.
Why didn't you tell us?
With
you were
Bill Bailey.
Oh.
Can you talk, Luisi, so I can hear if you're echoing? Go upstairs and call me. What are you doing?
I was going to say, cut the cord, and you can't be in the same room.
It says he's still on the phone.
Well, you got to hang up on him then.
I'm hanging up on him.
Yeah. Why would you even take that call? He was in the room. He was running on your treadmill.
Oh, he's calling.
Well, that was kind of amusing.
Hello? Alex? Oh, yeah. What up?
So your wedding.
By the way, what was the point of this?
Wedding.
I don't know. But, okay, so
wedding
I need
Friday.
I need to somehow get from the wedding to the show by, I got to be back by 5:30.
Yeah.
So it looks like I'm going to the ceremony, not the reception, which was paid for.
Uh-huh.
I am going to be the laughing stock of Indiana.
How about me or Steve go in your place?
I don't know how much they'd like that.
I don't know how much I'd like that.
This is British week. We got like three Brits on this week, I think.
Yeah.
Do they like Brits? Is that like...
Yeah, are they...
Is that like the N-word?
Well, their term for us is Yankees or Yanks.
Oh, well, then fuck them. They're the Brits.
And that, I'm very indifferent to that term. I don't
fuck them. I don't like Yankees.
I don't know.
I'm a Mets guy.
Yeah.
Hey, is Alex calling me or what?
I don't know.
What is going on with him?
I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
So I want to play a little Joe Cocker because I figured he's English.
I pointed out that sounded like the Steven Seagal song from the end of the previous show we did.
You did?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how Joe Cocker will take that.
I'm not sure how Steven Seagal will take that.
Oh, really?
Is Steven Seagal British?
Good point.
Yeah. Thanks. So, yeah.
He's a master character.
Very good
actor.
Point I think I made.
What point was that again?
Well, you know, I don't know how closely it could sound to Steven Seagal if Steven Seagal...
I'm going to call Charles.
Oh, that's nice of you. So he can rip up.
Yeah.
You are a glutton for pain.
Well, you are addressed.
Charles is too good.
Well, he knows the... You.
You're going to have to recant that if he picks up at the last minute.
Yeah, he will.
I won't recant it. If I'm too good for a first ring.
Voicemail. He should be sitting by the phone anticipating this.
He definitely effed me on that. Well, no one's around tonight. No one wants to talk to us. No one likes us.
Is it that no one likes us, or is it that you dropped some truth bombs last night and said you laid down our syllabus of work to get done?
I mean, that's part of it, and the other part of it is I think when you turned down that job offer from L.A. today, you pissed off the world.
I did?
I guess. That's what happened.
Oh, well,
they're like, who is he to turn down jobs?
Oh, well, I'm doing with a team, one for all and all for one.
Oh, very, very nice of you there, Michael. By the way, who did that song?
Sting,
Rod Stewart, and Brian Adams.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom had a suitcase packed and ready for me to fly the coop.
Yeah.
But we had a plan. You know what? You've turned things down as well.
Yeah, you have.
Not according to some people. Not going to name names.
No, name some
names. Hobag.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess I'm just an asshole.
Why don't you consider the source first? Most importantly, whenever you hear a claim, you got to consider the source, if it's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do?
How many good sources are there, though, anymore?
This isn't LexisNexis. That's for darn certain.
LexisNexis?
I don't
What's
know.
That?
Wasn't that like a search engine you were supposed to use for research papers, I thought?
Yeah, it's a database. Journalist.
This is what Steve was talking about when he said it was all for one.
Oh. Lo and behold, you've got it.
They have like a whole 30-second setup, by the way.
Yeah.
They're still talking. I'm in a minute... I am a minute into this song, and they're still
Jesus.
Talking. Rod Stewart's wearing, like, this white mink jacket.
Oh,
looking gayer than ever. But he's a straight man, Rod Stewart.
Yeah, but he looks straight, he looks straight next to Bryan Adams.
That's a good point. But this is what Steve was talking about, if they ever get to it.
Sing it.
Oh, sing it. Here
sing
it comes.
It. Sing, sing it. Sing it. I will.
I'll be a man of good faith. Are you ever going to call? You know, I'm listening to this song. You're not, okay, well, whatever.
Speaking of lookalikes, we made some Blossom lookalikes last night, just so I could let everyone know. We dropped some references as to who we thought would fill in the Blossom.
Oh,
cast.
Blossom?
Yeah.
Well, you're Ted Wass.
I am Ted Wass, yes.
And Larry Poindexter is Jenna Von Oy.
Yes.
And
Craig
Bierko is Joey Lawrence.
Yeah, yes. I don't think, yeah. But
I mean, it's not that hard to figure out.
And you are, of course, the star of the
show.
Right, Blossom. You're Blossom.
Mayim Bialik.
You are Mayim Bialik, yes. Oh, you got to mention her lactating story on her book.
Oh, God. Do I have to go to Mayim's Facebook?
Go to her official fan page. That's Mayim Bialik, I think, is how you say that.
Bialik.
Bialik. Thank you. Thank you. Love you.
And you're, supposed to, be, and you're supposed to be Jewish, Steve?
Yes, I'm supposed to be.
Well... Oh, my God. She's gotten so many posts today alone. I have to go back. She's popular, brah.
I don't blame it. I'm not surprised. Not shocked. Is it gone?
Mayim wants us to know she is still nursing, and by nursing, titty feeding.
Yeah.
From her
boobies?
Her three-year-old son.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Alternative lifestyle there. I mean, aren't you on solid foods at that point? I don't know. I mean, I just thought normally by three.
Here we go. I'm trying to find the one we read, but I mean, I guess.
It was from a vegan.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, does she say how long she plans to keep up with the lactating feeds?
Well, yeah. I hold on.
I mean,
Mayim,
till seven?
This is a question to Mayim Bialik.
Mayim Bialik.
Mayim, any suggestions on boosting my supply? Dee Dee is 22 months and I am 16 weeks pregnant, and I think I've almost dried up. So I guess Mayim's now like
she's,
the nursing go-to.
Yeah, right.
So anyways, she goes, contact La Leche League immediately or a lactation consultant. You have milk and will for years, but supply for some women shifts dramatically during pregnancy. Bravo for going strong this long.
She's the guru of breastfeeding.
I like the lactation consultant.
Yeah, how do you get a job as a lactation consultant?
I like that.
Like, you're not even the lactation president. You have to be a consultant. You have to climb your way up the ladder.
Well, you got to know a lot about certain things, and booby milk would be the number one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luigi's wrapped with attention.
I'm waiting for Pat Tobias to call and update me on my schedule this week. Pat, what am I supposed to do about my schedule if you're not calling in? Would you fucking call in?
Yeah.
How am I supposed to know what I'm supposed to do all week here?
Yeah.
When it's love you,
all
I'll
for
be
one.
A man of good faith.
Did I piss people off with that?
No.
No.
No. All for one,
one
for all.
That's
Musketeer.
That's what I was told.
Yeah.
I'm a team player there.
I just did.
So.
Lee's high.
Lee is up.
Is what I'm being told.
That is a weekday.
Lee, why are you high?
Yeah, it is a weekday. Lee should be high.
Look, man.
Lee, you don't do that stuff anymore, do you?
I really don't. I got too much shit to do.
No,
I don't like, not only, I'm not, yeah, you guys, I just turned it down. He turned it way down. All right.
And now you turned it up again.
No.
Luisi, what kind of audio engineer are you here?
No, let me explain.
You said he was too
down.
High.
And
oh,
you,
I did?
Yeah.
Oh.
I fixed it.
I didn't know I double dipped in that.
It's
there.
Okay.
Who's on first?
No, I'm not into that because I got stuff to do and I hate. I'm around a lot of stoners, and they, like, I don't like the stuff of stonerdom, stoner culture, and all that. I just, it's very uncool to me, uninteresting, and kind of childish.
Is it kind of childish?
Yeah. I am rifling our pothead viewers. They're gonna be like,
oh, well, no, we support pot on this show.
We do support pot.
I support the legalization of marijuana on this program.
It's not my favorite drug. I'll just say that. It's not my favorite drug.
Caesar, our producer, wants me to play something for Steve.
All right. What are you playing for?
They're willing to fight and die for that itch. Because that's what living is. The 6 inches in front of your face. Now, I can't make you do it. You got to look at the guy next to you. Look into his eyes. Now, I think you're going to see a guy who will go that inch with you. You're going to see a guy who will sacrifice himself for this team because he knows when it comes down to it, you're going to do the same for him.
Al Pacino.
Good job, Steve.
We used to listen to this before games, actually, for football.
Either we heal now as a team, or we will die.
Or we will die.
Oh.
If I'm going down, I'm taking
you
all with
me. It's a game
of
inches, Steve.
It is a game of
inches. It's a game of inches,
listen,
and you don't got many.
Any given Sunday.
That's what she said. I'm just kidding. Continue.
No, I was just saying, I didn't, like, blow the opportunity, to be honest. I'm on the top of the stack.
And is Pat Tobias ever going to call me in with my schedule, more importantly, than your work career?
I couldn't tell you about Pat Tobias because I'm afraid he'll...
Steve's career. Woo!
Yeah. Well...
Whoopee.
Only you can speak of Pat Tobias because he won't flip out on you completely.
I'm not even certain...
Pat says his call isn't going through.
Oh, that's lovely.
I'm not even certain Pat exists. I've never seen him in person.
Well...
call again. What
he's a voice on a phone. He's Dr. Claw.
Wow.
I don't clearly teasing.
He is kind of Dr. Claw. Look, after what Turzo and him said last night, they got into it a little
bit. They did.
I know, but that was funny.
You know what's weird is I'm not getting any phone calls. That's the problem. You know, this Blog Talk Radio, I've had enough of it.
Yeah.
I've had enough of this fucking place.
It stands no more.
No, I've had enough of it. I know Alex is calling in, and it's not allowing him to.
No, that's not good.
Alex, are you calling?
Then I don't know what to tell you.
I saw a blue jay today.
Oh my God!
I know. I'm just.
I was gonna say, did you really?
I don't
you
like
know
silence.
What?
I don't like.
You
silence.
Know what? Let's take a couple second break here.
Okay. Pause for identification.
No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call back into the stupid fucking program. So I'm going to hang up our call. Call back.
Okay.
Then we'll see if the phones work. Okay.
Okay. Oh, right.
I'm back. Now, who's going to call me and test this here? I'm done with Blog Talk, though. Let me tell you.
Finished.
Let me tell you something. The fucking Blog Talk yesterday fucked up my interview with Timothy Busfield. I got British people calling today. It's fucking that up.
How is this going to look to the British? You know,
no.
That like we over here in the States run some kind of a goddamn dog and pony show.
Yeah, I can call you, but it's not letting me call. Oh, God.
I don't even know what the time difference
is. What's your number?
I think it's
yeah.
6 hours.
6 hours, okay.
Six or seven.
But ahead or behind?
Ahead.
So it's like... here.
Are you getting my call?
It's going to be 3 a.m.
Yeah, I was just saying.
I'm calling you.
Maybe he's at a rave.
It says it's ringing.
Rave? Yeah, I can hear him.
Hello, you're on the Matthew Aaron Show.
Okay, well, I could call you, great, but no one could call me.
Okay.
Now you call me.
I'll call you right back.
Who planned this comedy bit?
Not Abbott and Costello, I
hope.
Those
geniuses at... Fuck Me Radio.
Yes.
Blog Talk. You know what? I'm sorry that I'm not a woman or black, and they don't want to promote my fucking show, first of all, even though I have better guests on some days than fucking you name a fucking show.
Right.
One. Two, they fuck me with my fucking phone call system here.
Yeah.
Okay, what am I paying them for a month? What am I'm paying them.
Not for service.
I'm paying them, pal.
They're not serving you.
And then, yesterday, fuck up my Busfield interview, which was... fucking phenomenal, that interview.
It was,
It was since we have a Brit on the show, bloody phenomenal.
Yeah. You did your homework. Someone over here
his
homework.
They can bugger off, is what they can do. People don't like it. They can listen to Bill and Susie's Relish Fart Garden Hour or whatever other podcast you see on this thing.
It's not accepting calls right now.
That is some horse
So they're
shit.
Nickel and diming us. Caesar even said, so nickel and diming us, which is true.
Yes.
You know, I've had a rough enough day. I saw a couple 30-year-olds wearing skateboarding gear with skateboards outside the gas station. This is what our country's coming to.
Thornton's?
This is what I'm saying.
Thornton's.
Yes. You called it.
Yeah, it was Thornton's, actually.
Who cares about Lane calling in? I can't get it. No. Oh, okay. I'll cue.
Okay. What, is his phone better? Is that what? Is it going to make a difference? His Canon string.
Angry Matt is.
It's not good.
I'm a little fired up at the moment.
Oh, man.
As you should be.
But Blog Talk Radio, by the way, can suck my dick.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't mean to get too profane on this show, and I try not to usually.
Have you noticed our show's been a lot less profane lately?
Well, until they fuck with me.
Yeah.
Until they fuck with me, now I'm fucking fired up.
See what happens, Blog Talk Radio?
Well, I don't think you're out of line for you could drop every filthy word towards Blog Talk. They're your employee, Blog Talk. You're paying them. So in theory, they're your employee.
What are we paying you people for?
Yeah. I don't mean to go too Larry David a la the kidney episode, but there you are.
I'm sorry, is this a chop shop?
No.
Timothy Busfield, Phil Rosenthal, Michael Whitehorn, Gary Sinise, Chaz Palminteri. Is this a fucking chop shop?
No, not at all.
So all of a sudden I got to run my show like it's a fucking chop shop.
All because of Blog Talk. Yeah.
I want the Blog Talk people because I know someone's got to be listening somewhere on Blog Talk. You fucking blow, suck my dick. You can't get me a fucking call system that even works? Huh?
Where's that money going?
What does Hobag use?
You got to bring up Hobag?
I was going to say, really?
After the shots they've been taking at me?
I was going to say, that's some salt you don't want to throw. considering...
How do you like the new studio? I don't like it. Blow me. I fucking hate this fucking program.
Okay.
Yeah.
Someone else talk.
Are there other things we could use? Are there other sites like this?
No. Well, I
want people to know, by the way, people that listen to yesterday's episode, people listening tonight,
Is
not usually how the show is. I apologize about the Timothy Busfield interview not being the quality it should have been.
That is
all on Blog Talk Studios' end. Fuck Blog Talk. I want to apologize tonight. I'm trying to find a way to get a hold of our guest for tonight. I'm not getting any phone calls coming in, though. And for everyone that's been trying to call in tonight, I apologize. So I have to apologize to everybody right now. I have to apologize. I have to apologize because they should fucking be apologizing.
Right.
But you can't get a fucking person from Blog Talk on the phone. I had Nick, you know, Bieber. Bieber called up Blog Talk himself and goes, why haven't you been promoting us? They put him through the ring around for hours, and they finally got a hold of somebody, and it was a go-nowhere conversation.
Huh.
Go nowhere. Fuck you, Blog Talk Radio. If you're going to fucking put out a service, learn how to fucking control it. Learn how to fucking take people's money, but at least give them back the right things. Okay? You're taking my money, and then you can't even give me a system that fucking works.
Yeah.
Who the fuck do they think they are? This is fucking bullshit. I'm fucking pissed. That's all I'm saying about it.
Yeah.
And I'm really, you know, I was cool about the Tim Busfield interview. I talked to Tim today. Tim really had a great time on the show.
Yeah,
all our guests have a great time on the show. People do get to listen to the show. We do have upwards of 4,000 listeners on the iTunes, which is great for a show that we've only been doing for 4 months.
Yeah.
I mean, look. But that's nothing's on Blog Talk, then. They haven't done shit for me.
No.
Nothing. Instead, you just keep taking my fucking money. I should come over to your fucking place. Do you know I'm Italian, Blog Talk? Do you know all my friends are Italian? Do you know what I could have done to you people over at Blog Talk?
Do you know how much some of your friends eat?
Go on Blog Talk's website right now. Get me a phone number. I'm calling them on the show. And on top of it, you get me the names of some of the top people there. Because they better lock their fucking doors tonight.
Yeah.
Are we going to go around kicking mailboxes from
mailboxes? You think I fucking kick mailboxes?
No. No, I mean, there's really nothing even to be... You can't even be, like... there's no joking about this either. It's awful.
Yeah.
It is my producer's job, Caesar, who does a fantastic job on this show. But producer Caesar's got to find us a better option. We're out of this Blog Talk business. And he will. And he will.
Yeah.
He promised me he will, and he will.
Okay.
Give me a number.
Wow.
Wait, 646.
Are they in Australia?
807.
0800.
Well, I can't put in an extension.
We'll dial it and then you can...
Thank you for calling Blog Talk Radio. If you know your party's extension, please dial it at any time.
For business development and sales, press 1. For all other inquiries, please dial 0.
Sounds like
it won't
zero.
Let me press anything right now. Yeah, it'll send me. Or, of course, they probably don't even have that.
Thank you for calling Blog Talk Radio. If you know your party's extension, please dial it at any time.
You.
For business development and sales, press 1. For all other inquiries, please dial 0.
I can't put 0 on there. They won't let me.
Oh, boy.
Thank you for calling Blog Talk Radio. If you know your party's extension, please dial
it. It's not in
Bangalore. This is how it is.
Their call center is not in Bangalore.
This is how it is?
Yes. That's, I doubt, you know what? What would, if you could get anyone on the line, it would be a little interesting at the moment.
With the system set up the way Blog Talk has it, I can't even hit 0.
Why not?
So if you have to call someone and need an extension,
right,
you're also fucked.
Say one of our guests set it up that way.
You know what? Hold on. I'm going to redial that number. Give me it again. I'm going to just put X0 and see if that works.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. We'll get a hold of these fuckers. What's your number? 6304. Don't give out your number on the air. I know the rest.
Yeah, don't.
I was going to say, Luis, he wants his number on the air.
Yeah, he wants to give it out.
As soon as I'm calling you. Go up. You need to get out of this area, though, or else it's going to be echo.
You need to get out of this area.
I need to get the number, Dan.
All right.
Now I'm talking to you.
This? Yeah.
Okay.
This is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Call them from outside so you have perfect signal.
This makes yesterday's...
No, I can't hear it.
This makes yesterday's ridiculous Stump the Steve game look action-packed.
For all other inquiries, please dial 0.
I hear it.
Oh, please pick up, people.
No, I'm going to take care of this.
Thank you for calling Blog Talk Radio. If you know your party's extension, please dial it at any time. For business development and sales, press 1. For all other inquiries, please dial 0.
I'm pressing 0.
Good.
Okay, press it. I'm ready.
Thank you for calling Blog Talk Radio. If you know your party's extension, please dial
press
it at
0.
Any time.
Press 0. You're working on
for
the
business
zero?
Development and sales, press 1. For all other inquiries, please dial 0.
Really what is this? If this is impossible to even call them. This is the kind of service they have. This is their customer service.
Thank you for calling Blog Talk Radio. If you know your party's extension, please dial it at any time.
I don't want their
for business
email.
Development and sales,
phone.
Press 1.
See, they
for all other inquiries, please dial 0.
Right.
They don't want you embarrassing them on their own program.
This is,
well, you know what? You've embarrassed me.
This is embarrassing them, though. This
I
is
hope
doing
so.
This is doing the job just fine.
Thank you for calling Blog Talk Radio. If you know your party's extension, please dial it at any time.
I keep
for business development and sales,
yeah,
press
like
1.
Press 0.
For all other inquiries, please
not,
dial 0.
It's not clicking over. I mean, I'm pressing 0. It's not working.
This is the kind of chop shop they run. Get another number. Come down here and get
thank
another
number. Thank you for calling
number.
Blog Talk.
I'm not done with these people until they pick up.
Oh, man.
I'll make this show 3 fucking hours if they don't pick up the fucking phone.
Okay.
Find something.
Yeah.
Lee, you got any of those funny bits of yours or anything?
Oh, boy. All right. Well, while we work on this, let me be a good second banana for once. I was on the train today, and someone...
You're not funny and nobody likes
come
you.
On!
Sorry.
You
sorry.
My
I
help.
I had a headache.
I was trying to say, that was spot on.
That was so counter...
That was pretty good.
Oh.
Well, let me tell you something. Any story that starts out, I was on the train, gets a... It's a soundbite.
No, anytime I'm on the train, someone says something that fills me with rage.
Like, you're not funny and nobody likes you.
No
like
one's ever said that on the train.
Oh, well.
Why can no one call me?
What
kind of program is this?
We've never had that problem before. We've always gotten calls. Right?
Yeah. Nice. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh, listen. All you people out there in Chicago land and the world over, Europe, South America, Hollywood, You're witnessing something magical. You're hearing something magical.
Well, my guest is supposed to call in 20 seconds.
Okay.
Philip Reese, okay. Great actor.
Yeah.
He's in the Adventures of Rin. Is it Rin Tin Tin?
Yes.
That Spielberg's doing.
No, Tintin.
Tintin.
Yes.
Sorry, Rin. Did I say Rin Tin Tin?
Yeah, no.
That's another project. He just did a play with Al Pacino.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got that USA movie coming on this
week.
The
9/11 movie.
Yeah. I'm so sorry I'm thrown out right now, but it's
right.
The Space Between, and there's a Twin Towers documentary, I believe, that's going to play after. But The Space Between, starring Academy Award winner Melissa Leo and Philip Reese.
Yeah.
I watched the film. Pat Tobias watched the film. It's a good film.
Yeah.
USA did a good job.
Yeah.
It's rare that USA steps out of the box and does a TV movie, and they found the right one, and they did it. And come on, you cast Melissa Leo. That's a home run.
She's great.
And, you know, this just bothers me. There's some great performances in it. I want to talk to Philip about his performance. Obviously, his career is taking off.
We could still get Philip. Don't give up hope. It's okay.
By the way, you know, you said USA doesn't normally go out in this direction with doing films or movies. Well, their timing, 10th anniversary, was just whoever sat in the room and said, let's put this film together. Let's...
We're USA.
1-7-4-4-4-4-5-0-4-1. 4-4-5-0-4-1.
Just because I know a lot of people are commemorating that.
I need to really apologize again, though, to our guest, to his people, to everyone, because this is out of my control.
Right.
And I wish it was in my control, and it should be in my control, and it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ed, you know, I'm going to hope people are understanding of the situation. We're through the roof here, if anyone can't already tell.
Yeah.
I apologize for my language.
It's okay.
But, you know.
They suck.
But you know what? Here's the thing that I'm going to hope people understand. Matt doesn't normally, you know, this isn't like an occurrence where Matt will get that worked up. He cares about the listeners. And
I also care about my guests.
It's not fair to the guests.
And The Space Between is a fantastic film, and people need to see it. And how am I supposed to, you know, I am very upset. Hi there. If you're having issues calling, now they want me to call me. Now they want to call. Okay. Well. Now they want me to redial into the show. So I'm going to be right back again, listeners, and hopefully, our guest will still call in. I will be right back in like 1 minute.
Okay.
I need to share a little story with you. That number they gave us?
Yes.
That doesn't work to call into the show.
Right.
So I want to call back in and tell our listeners again that Blog Talk really is just screwing with me here.
They're what's a good word? Huge assholes.
Well, I'm not trying to.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please enter your host PIN. When finished, press the pound key.
This is like watching your dad try to set up the TV, and he
except it's not dad's fault.
Yeah, it's not dad's.
I'll be right back.
You can only use the old number?
They won't let me do what I want to do. Well, they won't let me do anything. They basically give me a number to call to fix things if I'm having issues. And then they won't let me even use that number on the program they set up.
Right.
Dude, this is Alice in Wonderland right here.
I like that in the midst of all that, I said something and you were still able to get to your not funny soundbite. That
oh,
was,
well, that's, yeah. yeah that's,
all right, I'm going to call Philip. I guess we just got his number. I'm going to call him.
Beautiful.
Caesar's on the phone with him? Okay. Go, Caesar.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no...
What? Oh, wow. Well, of course that happens. Why shouldn't it?
It's a Fiji mailbox.
Man.
It's overseas.
That is true. I mean,
do they have a standard, like, stair station?
Hold on. Hopefully this works.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and try your call again.
I did. Twice. It doesn't work. They won't let me even call out at this point.
Again, listeners and guest Philip Rees, we're sorry.
Yeah.
No. He gave me another number. He gave me a 310. Oh, what an idiot that Pat Tobias is. Tell him he's an idiot, too.
Oh. What's up?
We're sorry. You have reached...
Yeah, this is just... This is a car accident. Yeah.
I'm pretty fired up.
Yeah, I'm... Yeah.
Can I be?
You're more than allowed to be fired
hey,
up.
Hey, Sarah, I'd appreciate if you leave before I blow my top. Thanks. I'm not too happy at the moment.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Oh, my God. Is this Philip Rees?
How are you, gentlemen?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
What happened? I thought you forgot about me.
No, I apologize fully. The program that we do, our hosts that host this program are...
Uh-huh.
No, why are you giving me the phone when I'm on the phone with my guest?
Guys, it doesn't matter. How you doing?
I'm running a chop shop here. Philip. I apologize.
Yes.
I want to talk about space between. I want to talk about your career. You're taking off. You're doing great. And I want my listeners to be able to hear this. And I apologize about everything else. And I hope you accept my apology. But
of
that's
course, of course, of course. These things happen.
Well, I do want to tell you, The Space Between, I watched it. It's a great flick. USA hit out of the ballpark with doing a TV movie here. Melissa Leo is incredibly talented, and you do a hell of a job playing a very pivotal role in the movie.
Right, yeah. I mean, just to be associated with Melissa Leo right now, I mean, is phenomenal. And just this role was something I hadn't done before. I mean, a lot of people probably couldn't recognize me from some of the other work with what I did on this movie. So that in itself was a bit of a challenge. So that was nice.
Well,
yeah, I'm glad you responded. And I think what USA have done with that and how timely it is with the whole 10-year anniversary. And it's not really, I mean, it is a 9/11 movie, but it's kind of a little bit more than that. It's, you know, it's a,
I agree.
A bit of a road movie kind of.
I agree. Melissa Leo plays a flight attendant.
Yeah.
And Philip Reese's son is on his way to see Philip Reese. And it's 9/11, of course. And
9/11.
And it's about the aftermath. Of, you know, Melissa Leo ends up having to have to help his son. And it's a very very touching film. And I thought your performance in it was very pivotal, obviously, to the film. But I think without as good of a performance as you gave, the film doesn't work. So I want to congratulate you on that.
Thank you. That's very kind. That's very kind. Well, you want the audience at least to miss what the son is missing, you know, in the father. So, you know,
right.
We kind of had to make him obviously likable. And this dad who's lost his wife moves to America to, you know, to give a better opportunity for himself and his kids. He's working two jobs and just doing the whole thing. And,
yeah,
and unfortunately, what happens is, I don't know, how much should we give away?
That's what I'm wondering. That's why I've been trying to be a little vague. But I mean, obviously it's 9/11. I think people know what we're dealing with here. But,
right, right.
But
well, one of my jobs is, let's say one of my jobs is driving a cab at night, and, you know, I don't have 2 shillings to rub together, so my son sits in the passenger seat in the, you know, in the front as I'm doing the night shift, and I'm told that at school that he's this, you know, he's got these great academic ability. So he's offered this scholarship to go to Los Angeles. But, of course, we're in New York, and I'm like, I don't want my son to go away from me. And so I basically have to, you know, take into account what's best for my son, what's best for me at this, you know, at this juncture. And then I end up saying, you know, let's give this kid every opportunity he can. Let's put him on a plane, and then I'll come see him and, you know, live with him in a few months once I've got all my crap together, kind of thing. But unfortunately, or fortunately, don't want to give it away.
Yeah,
that does or does not happen.
Well, and you know, a little bit throughout the movie, it is uncertain. So,
yes.
You know, it keeps the viewers glued in. But another thing, I do also want to commend. Child actors are hard to come by, and Omar Hasan in the film is the character Omar Hasan. What's the actor's name? Anthony.
The kid's Anthony Kavan. He had done nothing before. I think he did like one line on Lost, but that was it. And I was in London when the director sent over. I mean, there was no other choice. I was like, when I read the script, I was like, where are you going to get a kid 10 years old to be able to, you know, have that kind of command over his emotion to be able to do a performance like that? And I thought that was going to be tough to get the right kid, because you haven't got the right kid, then you haven't got the movie. And
right.
Travis, the writer director, and that story of Travis in itself is kind of interesting. I'm not sure if you know about that, but he sent me over his audition tape, and it just, I mean, he nailed it. He blew it away.
Yeah. No.
And I was like, this kid's phenomenal. And then obviously working with Melissa,
yeah,
and myself, he was dynamite. And for a 10-year-old kid, I think he played older. I think he was 9. And rarely you get a kid playing. You get a kid who plays older. You get a you get someone and they play younger. But he's a little prodigy, this Anthony.
Right. Yeah. And he makes, you know, without him being as good as he was, the film wouldn't work. And he was great. And this is just a really solid production. But I kind of think it's funny, because how much of a 180 was this from your role on 24?
Well, it was completely 180. I mean, I've got, you know, I mean, physically I look different in the sense, you know, I got the beard, and I did as much as I could to gain some weight, because I'd just come off this other, I was shooting the show Survivors, this post-apocalyptic drama on the BBC. For the 2 years, and I finished it. I wrapped that, I think, in September, and we shot this in October. So I kind of, you know, I wanted to physically be different. So I did as much as I could, you know, under the time constraints. And there's the accent, and then there's the whole honoring of the Islamic, you know, faith. You don't want to mess that up.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole prayers and all of that stuff. So it was, and I'd never played a parent before. I'd never played a father. So
right.
all of that was new. But with a kid like that, and on Survivors, I had a younger boy who kind of looked up to me, and there was a little father-son dynamic in that regard. So I was kind of playing, co-starring with 2 younger actors in a period of a year. And I tell you, these young kids, they don't have, I don't know, for want of a better term, the baggage or the this or the that about the work or the industry, and they listen. They just do the simple task of listening in a scene. And that sometimes is all you need, you know. And then Anthony does a great scene in the cafe where they realize Melissa realizes it's his birthday. And
yes.
She gets him a cake at the cafe. The listening that he does is just great.
And I've talked to a lot of...
He breaks your heart.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of actors, Philip, and it seems like a very big key to acting appears to be listening. I mean, that's what they teach you in all the classes. They taught you that, you know, when I went to Second City, they taught that. Like, listening is the key. And would you...
Active listening, yeah.
Yeah, and you would...
It's true, and I think any good actor, when they get the script, the smart ones, and if they're in a position to, they get a black marker, you know, they delete all their dialogue.
Yeah.
Because it's all about, It's about listening. It's about behavior and movies and TVs. Well, especially movies. It's a visual medium, as
yes.
I'm sure you know. You know, and I think a gesture and a gesture and behavior can say so much more. And listening is part of that.
Well, and I did want to commend you also on Survivors because you worked with someone who I like a lot, Max Beasley. And
have you met him? You met the gentleman?
No, I have not met Max Beasley.
He's a riot.
He's a comedian at one point.
Oh, my God.
And
he's hilarious. They need to give him his own comedy show because he does so much drama and he's great. The guy is the funniest. He's the funniest human being on the set. And I wouldn't do him justice if I were to repeat some of the one-liners that he comes out with.
But, Philip, too, Survivors was a huge hit. I don't know if in the States here people realize that, but I do know people in the States who have sought it out and have very much enjoyed it. Survivors, though, was a huge hit on BBC, correct?
It was massive. We're on BBC One, 9 o'clock. We were getting ratings that, you know, bigger. Because in England, the market, obviously, in Great Britain, the market is smaller than the U.S., but the numbers we were getting were like 6 million, which, you know, and I love Mad Men and all these cable hits. They don't even touch 5, I don't think.
Right, right.
So, you know, something that would be a runaway success here, we were way outdoing. But in, I think, the second season, the ratings probably, I don't know what it was, the ratings weren't as high or they dipped just under 5 and for whatever reason, politically, they decided not to renew it. But creatively, it was so rewarding because it's this whole, you know, it's a little like Lost, post-apocalyptic drama. There are like 6 of us, a ragtag team left on planet Earth where this virus has spread across the nation, across the world, and we all have to kind of band together to, you know, to start a new life. And I play this, which is different, very different to the role that I have on The Space Between. I play this kind of playboy Lothario character who only cares for the women and the cars, you know, in his life. So all that is taken away from him.
Well, you know. You know what I was going to mention about? I was going to ask you, I'm just curious, because, you know, I watch BBC America. I know, I don't know, Lee, do you watch BBC America or Steve?
Yeah.
I do as well.
I have, yeah.
Okay. My question is, why is there a difference between the British series and the American series, where most of the time it seems you only put out about 6 episodes a time, and that's a season? How does that work?
A season is 6 episodes. Yeah, it's always
been. We did a season, The season in the UK, especially for the BBC, because it's all public money.
Okay.
So, you know, they're all a little, you know, theoretically they say they don't chase ratings, but, you know, that's.
Yeah.
Right.
A whole other thing. But, yeah, 6 episodes kind of, you know, classifies a season in the UK, which is great in many ways because, you know, it's quality over quantity.
Yeah, that would be correct.
You know, they really get to hone each episode and they get their time and they get even a longer pre-production period. But I think at the end of the day, it's finances because the market in the U.S. is so huge, and the advertising revenue is massive.
No, I agree.
I think like the episode of one episode of 24. I don't know what the figures are, but that must have cost
millions.
One episode of 24, the whole season of Survivors, maybe, you know.
Wow, I didn't know that. And you know what's interesting about that too is. It must be different then when you're given a role like you were given on Nip Tuck.
Yeah.
And it's another show where they spent, not 24 money, but a good deal of money. What are the differences between working on a show like Survivors, which was a huge hit and creatively was. See, this kind of tells me, it's funny, you know you're talking to an actor because he said quality over quantity, not a network exec quantity over quality. But what I.
But you know, though, some shows can get it right. You know, some shows can do a 22, 24 episode season, and the writing is consistent. And I take my hats off to all of them because.
Well, what's that difference?
Yeah, that's not
though,
easy
for you. What's that difference for you though, from a BBC BBC show like Survivors to a Nip Tuck or to when you were on NCIS or 24?
Right.
What is the differences like?
You know what, to be honest, outside of a paycheck, outside of that stuff, you're still trying to hone. You're still trying to. You know, it all becomes kind of incidental because it is about just doing the best you can in that moment with the material you have. And maybe, do they shoot faster here? Maybe, but that's only because it's slicker and they got their, they've got their shit together and they've been doing it for years. And so, to be honest, the differences are minimal. Once you're on the set, you're working with they're all competent, the crew in front and behind the camera, all first class. So in regards to that, I really wouldn't say there is that much difference. It's more about, the other stuff. There's, nothing beats Tintin's craft service table, for example, the food that was got, and our lunches and dinners, those little things, on a set in the UK when it's pissing down with rain aren't the most joy, and I'm yearning to be back here in the sunshine. So it's that kind of stuff. But as for what's written on the paper and all that stuff, I would say it's all kind of the same. Everyone's just striving to do the best they can, under the conditions.
Yeah, well, what I wanted to also ask you, though, is this is kind of crazy, too. When people heard you were on the show, I got a couple comments that's the guy from Xenon.
Oh.
Now, listen here.
You have kids? You guys have kids?
No, I'm a 28-year-old male. Thank God I don't have kids yet. But tell me about Xenon and Xenon the Zequel, because you're going to need to film me in here, Philip.
Because, I guess this is a sign that generation has now grown up and are listening to adult fare, because I just shot a CSI. And some of the young assistants on that, they all recognize me as this character called Protozoa, who's this intergalactic rock star, who, Disney Channel did a bunch of movies, I don't know, nearly 10 years ago, I guess.
Right, 99.
And this girl, a young girl called Xenon, it's set in the future, she's grounded by her parents, which means she's sent to Earth. And, to live with her aunt, and part of that, she's actually kind of happy about it because that's where her hero, Protozoa, lives. So she tries, and what's the storyline? I have to go and do the first intergalactic concert in space. So she's trying to hook up on my spaceship and meet me so she can go back to space or something to save all avenge the bad guys. But anyway, I'm decked out in a whole, I guess it's a David Bowie meets Liberace kind of outfit. I got peroxide blonde hair, spiky, and tight silver pants on, and I'm lip-syncing my life away to
David Bowie.
It was a phenomenon. It was crazy. These kids, I guess they grew up with it. What was my generation? Whatever. But yeah, it's like, it's a whole group of kids who are now in their early 20s are just digging this, who dug Protozoa, and they sing this, they come up to me and they sing this, they hear the accent, and then they're like, oh my God, you're Protozoa, zoom, zoom, zoom. You made my heart go boom, boom, boom. I'm just phenomenal.
Song, Philip? Zoom, 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 boom, boom, boom.
Zoom, 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 you made my heart go boom, boom, boom. You're my intergalactic rock star girl.
Sounds very Disney.
Wow.
Yeah. Sounds very Disney.
It's edgy stuff, baby. It's edgy
stuff. Someone at the show has actually seen it. He just smiles like, oh, I totally remember
he
that.
Goes, he goes, that's pretty
like,
good.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was pretty good.
That was the first one. And then the second song was in the Zequel was Galaxy. The Galaxy is Ours.
Oh, see, I got right here for when the interview's over. I'm going to play for our listeners. Supernova Girl, zoom, zoom, zoom.
Oh, my God.
So
nice.
Don't worry. You're taken care of on this show, Phil. That is my apology
you.
To you.
Yeah.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Is his apology. That's how
oh,
we
you're classy. Thank you.
Well, I try. Now, tell me about Nip Tuck, though, because that was a show I loved, and you were on quite a few episodes of it. And everyone's kind of filthy on that show, and
that was a dirty old show in the best sense of the word. Yeah.
Yeah, but what was that like when you get a script at your, you know, at your house, whatever, you get a script sent to you for Nip Tuck. Is every page you turn to, you're like, really? This is going to happen? This is happening?
I could. Well, what was so great about it is because I got a call to audition, you know, as you do a lot, so much of the time, less than 24 hours, and like, oh, this new show, it had yet to air. There's this new show, they picked up the pilot, we're sitting around, watch the show. And I, you know, I watched it, I was like, this shit is great. What is, you know, Julie McMahon's doing a line of blow off the stripper's ass. I'm like, when have we seen this on TV recently? And it's a smart satire. You know, there's a commentary about the whole, you know, age and beauty and celebrity and all. I'm like, this is good stuff. So I think I just went into that room the next day just so excited about the potential of being involved in a project like that. I think Ryan Murphy just, I couldn't stop smiling. You know, I was like, guys, I saw the pilot last night. Oh, my God, what you're doing is amazing. I love it. It's great. And they're like, all right, well, let's see if you can act. So I do all the audition. I do it in an American accent they wanted. They're like, great. And then I leave the room, and then what I later heard is the casting director say, you know, he's English. And Ryan's like, oh, he is? Oh, interesting. Well, you know what? Bring him back. Just tell him to do the English accent. So I do, and I get it. But what's smart about Ryan and what's so smart about that show is that he remembered that I could do the American accent. So the character is established as an English, an English med student, right? He's trying to get into Jolie Richardson's knickers. And then whatever comes down, and the reveal is that I'm just this hustler and I just like older women and blah, blah. And she's like, I know all about you, Jude. You know, you're not from London, you're from New Hampshire and all that. So there's a reveal. There's the reveal that I'm actually am American. So I don't know what it was in the later part of the first season. I do the American accent. So that was all about Ryan knowing, let me write to the strengths of my character, my actors. And they did that on 24. So it just adds more layers. It's just more color.
It's really smart to do when you got an actor, you have him booked, and you're like, wait, we could do this with him. He's multi-talented. Right. Very nice.
Is it really?
And you know, Joel, and of course, Jolie's English. She had two English actors. One's doing the English, one's doing the American.
Yes, and Jolie is she's something else. I like her. She's hot. You're right, Steve. You're right. Steve's giving me these like weird like looks, and I was getting a little creeped out. you are
that
working.
Was
yeah, go ahead, Philip.
No. Go ahead. I was just going
to
be
Philip's like, I don't know what to make of that.
It's an episode of Nip Tuck here going on
right.
In the studio.
Well, we're here with Philip Reese, The Space Between, which, you know, I would not doubt if it got nominated for an Emmy next year. This is a good film with some great performances by Philip Reese and Melissa Leo and the kid who plays Anthony Cavan, right. Okay, Cavan. Okay, but I did want to bring up, because I know our audience is looking forward to this movie, The Adventures of Tintin, and you are working with the all-star British cast. Daniel Craig.
I know, they're all Brits, aren't they?
Nick Frost, Jamie Bell, yourself. I mean, come on, what a movie. And this is
Daniel Craig, I think, Mackenzie Crook from The Office.
Yeah, and who's the student film director that did this film? He's done nothing before.
Oh, he's been around. He's a bit of a hack, that one.
Yeah,
I wonder if this movie will even get a release, to be honest.
I
think it'll get distribution.
Straight to Redbox
Philip. I'll be seeing it in fashion.
Steven Spielberg, and this has been a passion project of Spielberg's. He's wanted to do this for years. So did you audition for this film? How did this come about? And knowing that this is Steven's passion project, how much of a perfectionist was he to get the story right?
Well, I know the project, when I auditioned for it, I knew that this project had been trying to get going, I think, a year prior, and for whatever reason, it started and then stopped. So I, in between the hiatus from Survivors, year one and year two, I was back here, and I got a call. No, what happened? I auditioned in London, actually, on tape. I do the thing. I come back to L.A., and they say, oh, the tape didn't work or whatever. There was a problem with the audition, your audition. They couldn't, so they'd like you to go in again. I'm like, oh, you know, I was golden back then. That was it. I can't replicate what I did then. So anyway, so I go back and I, you know, I do a bunch of scenes for the casting director, and she's amazing, Victoria Burrows. And she's like, great. Steven's going to see these auditions at lunchtime, which was a couple of hours, and we'll let you know. And you're like, yeah, okay, you're very kind, but of course, Steven's going to see my stuff, and he will, whatever. But sure enough, 2 weeks later, you get the phone call. You get the phone call, and I think I was in New York at the time, and I was like, gee. And they're like, yes, you're going to be part of this movie. You're playing this role with Cary Elwes, and da 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 da. And it was one of those dreams. It was definitely one of those dreams come true. It's like I got to say that sentence.
Yeah.
I'm going to work with Steven Spielberg.
Well, I mean, yeah. Yeah, and with this new animation, too, what was that like?
That's the motion capture technology that they used on Avatar. So, you know, they all give you all a wetsuit, something similar to a wetsuit, all made to measure. They paint your face with dots, and they give you this kind of huge helmet that has a camera attached to it that registers all your eye movements. And then where we shot down near Playa del Rey in L.A., it's just a small sound stage, very, you know, smaller than your usual one you get in the studios. And on one side, through the glass, is a whole sea of computers, like a NASA space station. You know, all the NASA computer guys, like that kind of stuff. And they are registering every movement that every actor there is making, and they're rendering it. This is stuff I still barely understand, but they're rendering it in real time as a cartoon, as your cartoon. So you can see on these little TV screens that they have around your stage yourself as a cartoon, as Hergé painted them in his comic books. So it's just mind-blowing. Crazy. And I, you know, my character existed in one of the books because they've kind of done an amalgamation of two of the books as the story. And of course, and to add everything to what is already an amazing project, Peter Jackson was there for the first week or so. So he's co-directing.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm like, my mind was blown. My mind was blown.
That is a wild experience. I mean, Lee, what do you got about Adventures of Tintin?
Well, I was a big fan. I had read the comics. They used to give it to us in French class, and that was what I would read in French because it was
syndicated.
And then there was an animated show that I would watch on Nickelodeon in the morning that was very good too. That they made out of the comic strip. Yeah. So this is good, and so it sounds like it's going to be very similar to Avatar without all the blue cats having sex.
Well,
without all the blue thingies, ladies. Yeah.
So tell for people listening, is it going to be similar to, I'm thinking of the Polar Express, that Christmas movie where they rendered Tom Hanks like a, is it going to be kind of similar to that?
Yes, that's the look of it, yeah.
Okay.
It'll be the look of it, but the technology's advanced so much more in what was maybe, 10 years now, that the eyes, because I think a lot of people, as good as the movie is, I didn't see it, but I think if anyone... They said that the rendering of the eyes wasn't very human-like, and they've kind of dealt with that situation here because
that's what the trailer.
You know, because James Cameron was just like OCD over this technology, so so we're not going to have that problem. But I think, you know, with enough people, especially in Europe, knowing about this movie and if it's a success, I think they have plans to make, you know, a couple more.
I think you may be okay on this one. I think there may be a sequel for Philip Reeson's story here.
Are you using your American voice in this?
I'd use a French accent.
Oh my!
Which is pretty lame there. That sounds.
Is it easier?
I play a French. I think Cary Elwes and myself. We play these French pilots. So we're doing these who get involved with Captain Haddock and Jamie Bell and. Yeah. Cause mayhem, but yes, we do that. We do a little French accent.
There is. We're getting questions in from listeners. Thank God we still have them. people are loving you on 24, Philip. I got to tell you, and people want to know if there's any stories from you working on it. Because we know you played quite the shady character on the 24. What was that? Explain for our listeners what were your experiences on 24?
It was phenomenal. I mean, you know, they set me up as this patsy, as this you know, as the villain of the piece, everyone's like, he's the one, he's the one, he's the one. The terrorist is going to set the bomb off in L.A. and cause mayhem. Where, in fact, you know, you're introduced to me, it's the day of my, the 24 hours. What every actor will say, you know, what's 24 about? Well, 24 is about my wedding. My wedding day. It has nothing to do with Kiefer. It's all about my wedding day, getting married to this gorgeous blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl. And, you know, the events that ensue. And then my sister-in-law thinks that I have suspicions that I'm a terrorist and all the rest of it. So what ends up happening is, you know, her sister uncovers some stuff that maybe points the finger to me being the terrorist, where in fact it's actually my sister-in-law's sister, my bride-to-be, who has been the naughty one. So yeah. It's the whole thing, and she ends up, and it's spoiler alert, but anyway, she ends up, because I end up deducing all of this in my own time, and she comes to my office and tells me what a nice, was a final line, you're so nice, Razor, and then puts a gun to my head and fires.
Yeah.
Kills me, tragic. But the story behind that is I was ill, very, very ill. Let's say I wasn't leading a very healthy lifestyle during that period. And I had this dental implant. So, you know, they take away the tooth, you're meant to go on antibiotics, no booze, no, you know, good night's sleep, all of that stuff. I wasn't really listening. And sure enough, abscess in my jugular vein, bacteria to my heart and lungs. And those last scenes where I was shot and I died, when I fell to the ground, I pulled something in my neck and all the bacteria went there and I basically couldn't breathe.
Oh.
And I was... The next day, I was in hospital for 3 weeks.
Oh, my God.
High drama.
Yeah, a little bit.
And then they were saying that there was a curse of 24, and then the young girl who played Kiefer's
Alyssa
daughter.
Alyssa Cuthbert.
That's right, Alyssa Cuthbert. She was bit by a cougar.
Yes.
That happened, and then I think Michelle Forbes had some sort of accident. Everyone was dropping like flies at some point.
It was a poltergeist over there.
Yeah, it sounds like. Spoiler alert, the cast goes down one by one.
Yeah, and when you get these scripts now, I always had this question about 24, Philip. Is this all planned out the whole season? Or do they kind of like... Look, I know it's kind of a stupid question, but there are so many twists and turns on that show. Sometimes I wonder if halfway through the season they're like, hey, you know what would be great? So,
I think they definitely have a general outline of the season, and that more often than not means that Kiefer lives, but the general outline, they have that kind of, you know, ingrained, but they riff on it, they do a little jazz, and then, you know, if they hire some actors, and again, like Ryan Murphy, the smart ones, when they know they've got a good actor, they'll keep them around, they'll write for them. So I know that with me, I knew I was going to get it at some point. I just didn't know when. You know, was it going to be in episode 6 or episode 10 or what? So every time after episode 6, when I got a script, and you know, the first thing you do, you get the script, you go straight to your page. And any actor on that show who says they don't is a liar. You're like, I'm still a liar. So.
Now, that was quite a while ago, so you're going to have to remind me here. I know this is season 2. Do you have any scenes with Kiefer?
I don't have any scenes with Kiefer. All my stuff is with my wife and her family, and then with Xander Berkeley.
Yes. And Xander.
And then Carlos interrogates me.
Yeah, and those are both very good actors. Xander was great on that show, and so was Carlos. They were great on that show. Just what an iconic bit of TV to be a part of, though, 24. I mean, I really think that show is, I think it's very beloved, and I'm sure a lot of people recognize you from that show, too. Or maybe they don't, because you had a different look to you.
Well, especially when I go to the UK, because I think after the first season, the whole, you know, I don't think the ratings were that great, and there was this documentary, I don't know if you know Jonathan Ross, he's quite a celebrity, he's like David Letterman.
Yes, I love Jonathan Ross.
He's great, right? And he came out here and he did a little documentary on 24, saying, you know, he's a big advocate for it, saying, you know, you've got to renew it or whatever, pick it up for the second season. And I think just based on the UK audience, they said, you know what, let's give it, at least internationally, that they're digging it. And they gave it a second season. So at least for one, when I go back to the UK, you know, I'm a pint in at the pub, and from there on out, I'm not buying drinks anymore.
That's so awesome.
Can I get you a drink, Razor? Can I get you a drink?
That's so
awesome. Yeah, no, it's very popular, and also the timing of it.
Yeah,
it was a great show, but it was so much a show of its time.
Right.
You know, the whole post 9/11 and all of that stuff, and the war on terror. It was, and he was an anti-hero, which was kind of new. I mean, we had Tony Soprano.
Right.
But someone like Jack Bauer, it's like he was doing everything we wanted to do to those bastards, you know?
That's an era
who did those atrocities.
I don't know about British television, but in American television, that's going to be remembered for the anti-heroes with Tony Soprano, Kiefer Sutherland,
right.
Michael Chiklis. That's
right.
What's going to be remembered
Dominic
for.
Dominic West.
Right.
Right, so, exactly.
I did
great,
have,
I mean, what a company.
Philip, you got to work with two of my favorite actors of all time, and I got to know about this. I'll start with Jimmy Woods first. You did an episode of Shark, and I actually watched Shark all the time. I know it was your basic procedural to a degree, but I think it had a little more than it to that. It wasn't just like Law and Order where here's the case and that's that. But what is it like being on set with Jim Woods, James Woods, Jimmy Woods?
Jimmy Woods, what? Well, Jimmy Woods is the boss.
He's the boss.
He is the boss, and quite rightly so, and that's very apparent from the first moment you walk on the set.
Very nice.
So, you know, he's great, and I've, you know, Salvador's one of my favorite movies, and, you know, all the other stuff he's done before then, yeah. So he's great, and you know, he's like MIT, he's like this genius kind of genius mind and all the rest of it. So you get in a conversation with him, it's just intense. It's always an intense conversation,
he's
regardless of whether you're having breakfast. What do you have for breakfast, Jimmy?
Yeah.
You know, and those eggs were intense. And
waffles. Yeah, those eggs were intense. I could. I've heard James Woods on Howard Stern a few times, and he knows how to drag out a conversation and make it like sound like Einstein was talking about eggs.
Right.
You're right.
Right.
It was. It's.
And he loves his golf. He loves his golf. Which
I
don't play. So
now
maybe we're gonna...
You mean the ladies or his daughters?
No, he's a golf.
I'll pass on that. He likes to putt. He's got a big club.
Okay.
Oh, he tells everyone that, doesn't he? Okay.
He does. On Stern,
I know. The other person
What was he saying on Stern? What was he saying on Stern?
He was talking about his enormous wiener.
Yes.
On Howard.
That sounds intelligent.
Yeah.
I mean, he did.
That's
he did
MIT stuff, that.
He made it sound like MIT stuff, though.
Did.
He was telling Howard to pick up women, too.
It was like astrophysicist stuff here with the smooth. Oh, man.
But more importantly, Philip got to work with my idol, Alfredo Pacino.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow. First of all, I hear he's the nicest man.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
But what is it like to work under his direction even, too? Because it's rare that Al directs. So
right.
What's that whole process like? How do you get involved with an Al Pacino film? What was that like?
That, again, you know, these are, you know, luckily enough, I'm on the radar for in touch with some good projects. And they come in and they're like, you know, Al did this play, Salome, on Broadway, and he just did it in L.A., and he's kind of doing a docudrama thing like he did with Looking for Richard, and he's looking for a bunch of actors to take some of those scenes from the play, which was written by Oscar Wilde, called Salome.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Which was originally, just for those who didn't, was written in French, because it was banned, the subject matter was banned in England at the time, and
right.
Oscar was in France, where you can do all sorts of things. So anyway, so he's doing that play, and he wanted to stage some of those scenes from the play in the desert, you know, how it would be in real life. So we went out to the Mojave Desert. I'm one of four characters. There's the John the Baptist. Well, there's five. John the Baptist, Herod, Salome, myself, I play the young Syrian, so I don't know how many guys. But and I have, I'm in love and I'm infatuated by Salome. So we did a bunch of those scenes, and he's directing you. And what? And it's the same thing with Spielberg. You know, these guys that you only wish I'd wished, I was lucky enough to work with Dennis Hopper as well. And these guys were your idol, especially for me, because I always aspired to work with you guys in America. My heroes were the Americans. Reciting verse in tights on a stage is something I respect, but it wasn't necessarily something for me. I wanted to be, Jimmy Dean or Brand or any of those guys. But anyway, so to work with these guys who came out of that world. So my point is that when you get with them finally and you've got the job, so there's no longer, please hire me, please hire me. But once you have the job, they become your colleagues, they become your contemporaries, and it really does become about the work. And of course, every now and then you're like, holy shit, Al just told me to do this and do that, and he would high five you after each, after my scene, or after each, I'm like, Michael Corleone just gave me a high five.
I am all about the high fives from Al Pacino.
Yeah,
sign me up.
So it was great. It was really.
Is it?
And you learn. You're always learning from these.
Well, I was going to say, is it kind of crazy being an actor actually getting to watch a guy like Al Pacino go through the whole metamorphosis to go into character and everything? Is that kind of wild?
That was so wild, and I did witness that, because one moment he's directing us, and then he has to do his own thing, and then therefore he has to get into character. He can't really direct the movie as King Herod, so he has to put down the director's hat and kind of get into his own place. And that, I saw it, it was subtle, but I saw it. And
that's awesome, yeah.
I was like, dude, I'm taking notes.
Well, is that something you want to do? Is that something you want to do, Philip, is direct?
Doesn't every actor?
Yeah.
What I really want to do is direct.
I really want to direct, yeah, right.
I would love to direct, but, one thing at a time. What I have directed, though, recently this year is a small documentary short called The Rocky, which is actually about my apartment manager, an old apartment manager I had years ago when I would come back and forth from here to London. This guy was such a character. His name was The Rocky, is his name he would go by, and this kind of overweight, obese, flamboyant, gay man who was basically the waiter to all the stars in the 70s. And this guy, he lived across from me, and he had so many stories, just insane stories. Warren Beatty, Julie Christie, Sammy Davis Jr. gave him his name because on a road trip to Vegas once. And this guy was, I thought, you need to be documented. And that's what I did. I followed him around. And of course, then you get to know this character more and you understand why they are who they are. His apartment, for example, you couldn't enter. It was filled to the brim with knickknacks and crap and stuff that he would just find off the street. I mean, by definition, he really should be living on the street. But somehow he got the job to be an apartment manager. So he's living rent-free. So he was just quite a character. So anyway, that's the thing I have directed.
And I do want to say, people have pulled Alex pulled it up for me. You could see The Rocky on Vimeo.
Yes, you can. Please, Philip, check it out. I'm very proud of it.
And I'm actually going to watch it tonight because this actually sounds very, very interesting to me.
Oh, thank you, Matthew.
It's Hollywood mixed with big fat gay guys.
What more would you want, right?
Right.
A lot of high fiving going on.
I think that's it. I think that's a very good, sensible thing to do for your first time directing. Is we all know somebody who we'd like to make a film about them because they have great stories, and they're just a character. Yeah.
Well, here's the truth, though. Did Philip high five Rocky after every scene, after every shot of the documentary? Were you throwing out high five?
No, the Rocky high five Philip. Because Al Pacino did it to him.
Oh, right.
Rocky probably couldn't. Rocky was so big and so, just his health was just in a bad condition. He barely could high five.
I'm
he barely could move.
I'm staring at a picture of this man right now.
It was quite something.
If you see the picture of this man, you want to watch this documentary. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, here there are these Rocky-isms. When you watch it, he just comes out with some gems, some he loves garage sales. And like, he's got all these sayings, and he's, you know, expletives and F-words and all over the place. He was a great guy.
Well, I want to let our listeners know, I will post the link later tonight on my Facebook page and my Twitter, and I do want you to see The Rocky with me, because I'm going to watch it as well. It's a documentary short. It's only 24 minutes long, so, I mean, you can have ADD and you'll make it through.
Most of it if you have severe ADD, which is enough. Wow.
But I'm really looking forward to that, actually. And that's something I didn't know about, so I'm glad we talked about it.
Yeah.
See, nothing bad comes from talking about Al Pacino.
No.
Nothing.
Nothing. All roads lead to Al and
all roads lead to
gold and frankincense and
I love the disclaimer, by the way. If you have ADD, you can get through this film.
Well, that's our listeners. So, yeah. Philip, what are you a football fan? And when we say football, are we talking soccer?
Oh, God. Well, if you're talking soccer, yes, I am, sir. Yes, I am. The real game, yes, I am.
Who's your team?
Arsenal.
Arsenal?
The North London side.
Oh, you and Kevin Costner. You're hanging out at the Arsenal, huh?
Oh, that's right. Costner's a fan, right?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. You could be in The Bodyguard, too.
Oh, I hope so.
Waterworld
2, hopefully.
Yeah, Waterworld 2.
Wow.
Remember the scene in Waterworld where he pees into, like, a filtrator and then he drinks it?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Classy.
And Dennis Hopper with the one eye?
Yes, I remember.
Dennis.
What a great flick. $90 million of water.
All I want is the girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's insane.
It was a crazy movie for the time, because we never really saw anything like that. I mean, give Costner his due. There was nothing really like Waterworld, and it cost a lot of money, but it was nice to look at.
Yeah.
It was so huge, and it was kind of that movie, I think, passed, because after that movie, then it really became the Michael Bay, you know, on those large kind of scale, it became the Michael Bay era. So that was kind of the last, I think, of those big movies before the Mr. Bay hit town.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that's pretty accurate.
You know?
And then, but another reason I ask, I'd like to say that we were just bullshitting around, but it turns out you are doing a film with someone who wrote one of my favorite pieces, Trainspotting. Is that correct? You're doing a soccer movie.
Yeah. Fingers crossed with Irvin Welsh, who wrote Trainspotting. He's producing and co-scripted this movie that hopefully we'll shoot in October or November called The Magnificent 11, which is basically, you know, obviously a take on Magnificent 7, but instead the 11 are
a
ragtag soccer team, similar like to, you know, Bad News Bears.
Yeah,
and we have the bandits. We're all like, you know, working class guys who are builders and bricklayers and all that stuff. But the bandits are this very put together. What would you call them? Construction team who build proper, you know, build houses. So they are taking our business away. So we kind of we avenge them on the soccer pitch. So it's very funny. And then there's this whole Indian restaurant thing where they're the Indians, because the bandits were the cowboys. Then you have the bandits, and the Indians are the Indian guys who own the Indian restaurant. And they offer to sponsor us and pay for our, you know, our soccer jerseys, because they're all ripped and they have holes in them, if we come and work at the Indian restaurant part-time kind of thing, help them out. So it's very funny. So, you know, fingers crossed it'll touch the same kind of vein as a, you know, Bend It Like Beckham or a Full Monty, if we're lucky, but, you know, something like that. But it's very funny, and it's a comedy, which I haven't done much of.
And who else is in it?
Sean Bean, I know, right?
Sean Bean is attached. Let's fingers crossed we still have him. There's Dougray Scott. Robert Vaughn is attached, and he's, you know, obviously was in the original Magnificent 11, and he's the only, I think, surviving actor from Magnificent 11.
Oh.
Magnificent 7.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I hope you get Sean Bean. He'd be great.
Yeah.
He's good. He's really
good.
He's
a busy man right now, huh?
Yeah, that's what I hear. He's got a little TV show or something.
Right.
Thrones, Game of.
I haven't seen it. Is it good? I hear it's great.
All right. I love Sean Bean, and I love a lot of the actors on the show, but I just don't get it yet. I sat through only one episode, so don't get me wrong. I am not the go-to guy on this, but I haven't gotten sucked into it yet. I'm still mourning the loss of Sopranos from 6 years ago.
Wow,
so
that's a long time to be nursing a hurt like that.
Yeah, I'm HBO and I are not on great terms.
Okay.
Did you get into The Wire?
I love The Wire.
I love The Wire.
Yeah, I love.
Come
The Wire.
On, that was.
I watch just about every series HBO makes. Game of Thrones is good.
Though The Wire was sometimes harder to watch than British films with the accents.
and some of them were British actors doing the Baltimore accent, which was crazy.
Philip, who am I supposed to expect to be seeing coming out of Britain other than you, who's obviously on the right track to going big? Who are some of the people America should look out for from Britain?
Oh, that's a good question. Who do I like? Well, they're already blowing up, the ones that I remember seeing Tom Hardy in this small independent years ago. Small, and he just had a couple of scenes. And I think I was watching the movie on a plane. I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And, of course, now he's huge.
Right.
That is a good question.
You know who we have on the show Friday that I love, and I think he's a genius, and I wonder if you've seen his stuff, is Bill Bailey.
Bill, I haven't, no. Tell me more.
He is a conductor. No, he is a composer / comedian. He's worked with Simon Pegg numerous times. So basically, I saw this hour-long special of his where he had a like 30 or 40 piece orchestra, and he's playing music, and he'd stop the music and tell jokes about it, or tell
Bill Bailey.
Yeah, it's amazing. He's a genius. He's great. It is one of the most original comedy acts I've seen in years. Fantastic.
You know, I'll tell you what I do. The gentleman actually co-wrote Tintin with Edgar Wright, called Joe Cornish.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this guy is a talent. He just directed a movie which I haven't seen called Attack the Block.
I
hear that is great.
Yeah.
Did you guys see it?
That movie made a lot of money. I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either. Is it good?
Have you
heard it's good, though?
I have heard it's good. Kind of a fun pop movie. I don't know if that's
right. Well,
that's
my kind of movie.
Yeah. I was a huge fan
of it. Yeah, it's like a small comedy kind of set in South London, a bunch of kids. Aliens have attacked their like.
Oh, they're remaking
project.
It already. Yeah. They're remaking it here, Philip, already.
Are they?
They're making it with Vince Vaughn, Jonah Hill, and who else is in it? But instead of it being like kids, it's supposed to be like grown-ups. But it's basically, that was the response. But it's basically Attack of the, it's the same movie. They're making it.
Edgar Wright didn't direct that original one, did he? No.
No, Joe Cornish.
Joe Cornish, okay.
And he has a radio show in England, I think BBC Radio 6, with his buddy called Adam. That's a good word. I've forgotten. It's Adam and Joe. So anyway, Adam and Joe is what it's called, and those guys are hilarious. So I've been waiting for Adam to do something more out here, just as a comedian. But Joe is like, his star is way on the rise. He's doing great.
Who's your favorite comedians from Britain, other than Gervais?
I love Gervais. I love Eddie Izzard.
Oh, Eddie's great.
Best,
Who else? There was this show. What is it called? I spent so much time here now. It was this political satire thing. Did you see it?
The Loop? No, not The Loop.
There you go. Yeah, In The Loop.
The
All
loop.
That. I saw that was hilarious. Did you see The League of Gentlemen?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wasn't that great?
Yes,
yeah.
That was. What a great stream of beautiful profanity that pervades that entire movie. That is
Gandolfini was in that. Gandolfini was in the movie version.
Yeah. Yes, he was. He was in the he was in the movie version. Yeah.
There's a show called League of Gentlemen, which I think
that
came out here. That was hilarious. And then there's a show called Have I Got News for You, which has been on for years, which is
Well,
and then there's a music quiz show that is hosted by a guy called Simon Anstall, I think. It's called Never Mind the Buzzcocks, and they get a a bunch of celebrities on this on these panels, and it's a quiz show, but it's hilarious. And he just rips the piss out of.
Yeah, it sounds.
Well, League of Gentlemen is going to hit TV, BBC America here pretty soon. It's got Dominic West, I think.
Philip, what do you do when you're in LA for food, for hanging out? Are there other Brits that you hang out with, or do you have you just made tons of friends? But like, when you want some home life, what do you do in LA?
When I want the home life, I go down pub, which is usually I live on the east side, so I live in Silver Lake, which that in itself is a little more kind of low key to what's going on the west side of LA. So I rarely go west of La Brea unless it's kind of work or something else. But so I'm over on the east side. So I usually go. There's a pub. There's a bar which is actually on Melrose called the Village Idiot, which is great. I actually just wrote a bunch of that, like my 10 favorite things in LA. There's this place called Elysian Park, which is great. I just jog around there and
Steve, kind of you should go to the Village Idiot.
Chill out.
Yes, of course.
reserve. And then there's a lot of it's a lot of bar drinking, and when it's not that, it's just a lot of. I like tennis. I play tennis up at Griffith Park. It's all very. It's so different to London, you see. So when you're back, when you're here.
Yeah, it's not raining.
It's not raining. I'm like, it's you're like, I should probably be outdoors, otherwise you feel guilty. So
that's
so,
true.
But where do
so,
you go?
I've
football
stopped trying to compare it to London.
Where do you go?
I'm sorry,
for football games.
Well, the football games I watch on TV. I'm here. I watch it
oh,
on
wait,
the.
Oh, you don't get around with like all your Arsenal buddies and.
Well, there is an Arsenal crew, but they wake up way too early. They meet at the Fox and the Hounds, but the game's on at like 6 a.m. on a Sunday on a Saturday, and I've got a big bit of a hangover from the Friday night. So
I
watch it.
Say,
you know,
shouldn't
I record
be
it
at a bar at Saturday at 6 a.m. from the sounds of it.
Yeah.
So these guys are hardcore. They're just they're up. They're waiting outside the pub at 5:30 for the game.
I may have
to. So
go
I follow to Arsenal that. Just on the recorded stuff. But I went to see Galaxy a couple of weeks ago. They were playing, with David Beckham.
Is that real soccer? Let's be real.
Well, they were playing a real team called Manchester City.
They've done.
But Beckham, who I who's an incredible player, but he's in his twilight years, we should say. So you didn't really see much of him at all, and when you did, he really wasn't running past the halfway line.
You're not getting invited to any Victoria's parties now for that.
I don't know about that.
He's selling the shirts, though. He's selling the T-shirts.
Yeah, he sure is selling a few shirts. You know, they brought him over here, and he was supposed to launch soccer here, and
swing and a miss.
No one
cared.
How are ticket sales for the Galaxy, though? I'm sure it was packed for the Manchester City, but like just a regular game, are they not selling that many or what?
To be honest, I wouldn't know just because I don't go down there a lot. But what I found interesting was that there is a whole section when you go there that is they have someone on a what are they called? The horn, bullhorns.
Yeah,
and you feel that there's a whole section of crowd that you just assume are being paid to be there to scream and shout and sing songs, and they're being conducted by this guy on the bullhorn. So it's like this. I'm not really being much of an advocate to my city's soccer team. Anyway, so they're like being sing songs, chant songs, and it's all kind of prefabricated.
So you're saying there's somewhat of a crowd difference between the Galaxy games and maybe a Arsenal game.
it's just so, what's the word? It's so Neanderthal in those soccer pitches in England. It's just primal. Those guys are just singing and grunting and doing God knows what else.
Sounds like a good time.
Philip, you're making me worried. If I get my passport and go to an Arsenal game with you, I'm afraid I'm going to get sodas
wedgie
thrown at me.
Are you
going to
get torn apart by hooligans?
Green Street hooligans.
Yeah, right.
They're going to tear me apart. They had Elijah Wood.
You'll be safe. You'll be safe. You'll be fine.
Philip, when you saw Green Street hooligans, were you the only one that was not scared of Elijah Wood? Or was it just me?
I think he's a lovely actor.
He is a lovely actor.
I didn't quite... I didn't quite get the casting on that one.
He's a great actor, but I just don't think he's beating me up anytime soon.
No, you're not beating.
Did you ever see a, movie called The Firm with Gary Oldman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what that was. That's what the hooligans of then, of that time, back in the early 80s. I mean,
Gary
I think I could not.
Yeah, Gary Oldman scares the shit out of me.
That was before it was cool. That was before hooliganism was cool.
That was when, the hooligans, they had a political agenda, and they were, I mean, I wouldn't go anywhere near it. Growing up, you couldn't go, as kids my age, you couldn't go to soccer pitches at that. It was just way too violent.
Our producer just said his favorite player is Wayne Rooney, and I want to throw something at him.
Digitally.
Have you seen, does he like Wayne's new hairstyle? he's got these, and he's quite open about it. He's got these hair plugs that he.
Well, you know, I hear, he has plugs, and I hear his teammates aren't too fond of him as well. I hear he's not the most well-liked guy.
What's the point of having plugs if everybody knows?
I didn't quite get that. Every time he scores a goal, now every team member runs over to him and just rubs his scalp.
They should grab him.
Yeah, in
they
soccer, should. I'm surprised the things don't fly like a parachute. You know? Come on. In soccer, plugs? Just let it go.
He hits the ball with his head, it brings it to a dead halt.
So he's not Larry David's favorite player. Is that what you're saying, Steve?
Absolutely not.
Larry has a proclivity for the ball.
If Larry would even sit through soccer, yes.
Larry likes balls?
Yeah, no, he likes the ball. The ball.
He likes golf.
Oh, the ball. I'm sorry. Bad connection.
Philip, what do I do to? What do I do to tell my dad soccer's cool? Because he walks on me watching it, and he always tells me it sucks and it's boring and I'm an idiot for watching it. What do I tell?
Oh.
How they feel about American football?
Yeah, but how do I suck him in?
Okay.
You tell him. You say, Dad, this is what they call around the world the beautiful game. And it is that way. There are, you know, as great as, and I've been getting into your football a lot, and I understand it's all about, you know, plays and there's a strategy and all of the rest of it. But with, and there is that to soccer, but it's much more of a improvisational kind of, it's more fluid, it's more impulsive. And to imagine, you know, and for what they do with just their feet, you know, the skill to kick a ball and do whatever they do with just your feet, not using your hands, is pretty, you know, just in that terms, is pretty exceptional. And also, a lot of the Americans just can't get their heads around when they see the scoreline 1-0
right.
or 0-0 right. after, you know, 90 minutes, and they only get to see a bunch of commercials after a 45-minute period. They don't quite get it, but the game isn't necessarily about the amount of goals you score. It's the journey, not the destination.
And not only that, the game goes by much quicker than basketball, football, or baseball.
Yeah.
Certainly baseball.
It's 90 minutes. I watched the World Cup in a strip club years ago, and I saw 3 or 4 games.
You saw them all? You must have been distracted at some point.
Well, this is a true story. A stripper came up to me and asked me for a lap dance, and I gave her $5 to go away because I was watching the World Cup.
Oh, my God. You did a Charlie Sheen. You paid him to go, not to stay.
Yeah, I said, if I give you this $5, will you leave me alone so I can watch my fucking football?
Wow. Oh, you know.
Very nice. Very
she
nice.
She took it, yeah. And then I also asked if they had milk at the bar, and that didn't go over too well.
Oh, really? Milk at a strip joint?
Well, I wanted a glass of milk. I was in the mood. It struck my fancy.
I'll get you a glass of milk with an olive in it.
Luisi, I just deleted it on accident, whatever you sent me. Are you trying to ask me about Top Gear again? Would you stop bothering me about Top Gear? Yes, we get it. It's British. It doesn't mean that Philip watches Top Gear or has any interest in it.
Oh, is this interview just going to be like, so anything British that we think can...
So you're British. You must like this.
Yeah, we'll just ask him about that.
Well, listen, where are you guys from? You're from Chicago, right?
Yeah. Right. So, yeah. Well, we're moving to L.A., but yes, from Chicago. We're moving in a month to L.A.
Now, let me ask, you were at Second City. Do you know Laura Kraft?
Absolutely. Of course.
Of course. Well, she's a friend.
I'm kidding.
I don't know her.
That's my only one friend I know in Chicago. It's one of those things when they know you're from London. Do you know Bill Jones?
I thought you were making the point. I was playing with the points. Yeah, I got it.
Oh, very good, Steve. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, look, the bro doesn't watch Top Gear. He's also not sitting around watching all Hugh Grant movies all day, okay?
Yeah, I would hope not.
Do you think that all people are just running around quoting Monty Python sketches?
You can always just ask them what time it is because of Big Ben while we're at it.
Someone's got to travel.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Hey.
Ask him what his favorite Sherlock Holmes episode is while you're
and
at it.
And obviously he uses all of Gordon Ramsay's cookbooks while we're at it.
Yeah, to make liver pies.
Yeah, there's the question. Philip, how often do you go to Hell's Kitchen?
Right.
I don't go. I love the show. What's the show? The Kitchen Nightmares.
I love Kitchen Nightmares.
I like the original British Kitchen Nightmares because it had its narration in it.
There's really no difference other than that.
No, there is a huge difference.
No, it's the same fucking show.
Come on. He's not.
Oh, you know what? I never noticed the subtle difference.
See?
Nice pickup there.
Right. More like that's Philip being nice because no one noticed the difference but you.
I know.
You're like the person that notices the difference between Growing Pains Season 3 theme song and Season 4.
Oh, an observant person who pays close attention to details? Oh, yeah. I'm guilty.
Well, guess what? America doesn't need those kind of people.
Yeah.
Our government proves that.
So right. Hold, yeah.
We don't need observant people.
No, we export them.
Philip, I want to talk once again for our listeners. The Space Between airs commercial free September 11th. It'll be at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. It's on the USA Network. It stars you and Melissa Leo. It is a fantastic film. You could also find The Adventures of Tintin in theaters this Christmas, I believe.
Yeah,
you are quite the busy man, and I honestly believe because you've done this show, there's big things in your future.
You're a good man. You know what? The check is in the mail. The check.
The check's in the mail for you. I'm very much happy you still did this, even with the problem we had at the beginning.
Yeah.
No.
I will be leaving this company very soon and moving on to a different company because I've had enough of it. But thank your people for hanging in there with us too. They're great people. We love you, man, and we'd love to have you on when we're in L.A.
Thank you, buddy. Well, you give me a call when you head west.
Thank you very much. You're a good man, Philip. Thank you.
All the best, guys. Have a good evening.
All right.
Thanks, Philip.
Take care. Thanks. Cheers. Bye.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Well, that went well.
I mean, you know.
Okay.
Only took 40 minutes to get there.
As well as it could have gone, yes.
He was fantastic.
Philip was great.
You know, he calmed me down.
He did.
I could see the color returning to your eyes.
Was I that hot?
You were irate.
Really?
Yes. I mean,
it was so long ago. I don't remember it now.
When Luisi came up with the phone when you first got him on, and he's like, "Now why the fuck would you bring me the phone? I'm doing the goddamn interview."
Oh, I was still hot.
Two things
for her. Hold on.
Number one.
Hold on. A little Xenon. Do you want to hear? Go ahead.
And Luisi scampered away. He was like, he was terrified.
Scared puppy dog.
Yeah, you scared him.
That doesn't happen.
I know.
Well, I get a little fired
I looked
up
at Steve and I'm like, holy shit.
I've seen it.
She'd like me to dedicate this next song to a
This is Philip, by the way, obviously.
Yeah.
And he's got the blonde tips going here and the earring, and he looks 12. He's very young in this clip.
A lucky guy named Greg.
Protozoa.
Cosmic blast, you're giving me a technicolor world, putting me in overdrive, speed of light, I'm so alive, could you be my supernova girl?
Could you be my supernova girl? Zoom, zoom, zoom.
This was... Okay,
Protozoa is my favorite intergalactic band, by the way.
You said 99 was when that came out?
Yeah, I think
so. Well, okay, I was 14. No wonder I hadn't heard of it. I didn't want to get beaten up. I mean, it's obviously aimed towards younger audiences.
By the way, Tony Farinella announced on Facebook that he has an interview with Borders this week, and next week they close.
I was saying, good luck to you.
Who applies at Borders?
Well, Tony Farinella does, and he sometimes can be an F word that rhymes with maggot.
This is the best part, though.
Wow.
He goes from He goes from Blockbuster to Borders.
Yeah, he's a boy wonder.
How do you go a step backwards from Blockbuster?
Because
they're going out of business.
Yeah.
How do you go a step backwards from Blockbuster?
Well, I'll use his favorite quote.
Borders.
Haters going to hate on Borders. They'll be successful.
They're like, hey.
They'll rise out of the ashes of bankruptcy.
Yeah, first day there, he's like, what do I do? Get a broom and sweep up.
You know a company's in trouble when they're closing their State Street location in Chicago?
By the way, I'm glad I could bring together this couple, Jim McCarron's and Bruce Fred. I don't have any love songs to play at the moment, but glad I can make that happen.
Wow.
Yeah, they're now friends on Facebook.
Are they? Well,
they're not really together, allegedly. No, I'm just kidding. But, they're now friends on the book. And I'm going to take full credit for this.
You probably should. You should. Oh, speaking of, I had something I was going to tell you.
Zoom.
Oh, did you like that little ditty?
You know what?
Yeah.
When I read that they were friends on Facebook, Jim McCarron's and Bruce Fretz, this is what I heard. Yeah, this is what I was hearing in my head.
Oh, my God. Oh, I got one better for you. You know what I saw when I heard that? Kevin Arnold and Winnie Cooper making out.
That's true. We're having quite the controversial episode today.
Yeah, we are.
Hey, maybe this episode's just really hip and British.
Is it? I hope so.
Maybe it's really hip and British.
Maybe it is very hip.
Yeah.
Blog Talk phone lines are now working, just so you know.
Oh, boy.
Suck my...
Of course they are. Why shouldn't they be working
Once
now?
Again, I want to apologize to everyone about earlier. We will not be
angry.
With Blog Talk much longer.
No, we won't.
It won't be any different to you people. It'll just be different for us. So don't think, how am I going to listen to this show? How am I going to see everything?
You'll be able to listen.
Don't worry. We'll make it painless for you people.
Taken care of.
It'll just be painful for me as everything else is.
You're right.
And now we only have 11 minutes left to show because of the first 30 minutes of outrage.
It's okay. Of outrage.
Yeah, but this is the second time this week I couldn't get to the news.
It'll be the last time.
Yeah, Thursday's lots of news.
A lot of news.
We can do a few news things.
I don't even know who's on Thursday. Bill Bailey at 6 p.m. on Friday. I don't know how I'm going to juggle that. I literally have to leave Indiana by 4:30.
Oh, and 294, pal. Have fun. 8094 to 294. You are... If you can beat that traffic, I will tip the hat I don't wear to you.
Well, you may be coming with me. J.C. Bartok will be joining us on... what do you have going on?
I film Fridays.
You're not even going to be here for the show?
No, I'll be late. I'll be
here. From 6 to 8?
I'll be there after 8.
You'll be here?
Okay. Oh, the show's 6 to 8, I forgot. Yeah, then I will miss it.
I'd have to leave.
J.C. Bartok joins us on Thursday.
I'll be there for that.
Oh, that could be the worst show we've ever done.
Hello. Oh, no.
A lot of jokes.
I'll, might be a tad late. I get out at 5:30.
Oh, my God.
Close.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have a show by myself.
I'm coming.
The Space Between, by the way, USA Network, September 11th.
Right.
Commercial free. 8 o'clock Central Time. Check it out.
The Alex and Matt Show.
Wow.
There's 3 seconds I'll never get back.
The Alex and Matt Show. This could be the worst thing. Who am I going to have to call in for a favor? First of all, I got to now tell my parents I'm not going to that wedding.
Oh.
Well, don't go to weddings anyway.
No. Well,
there's no way I could do this wedding now.
Yeah.
Can you get out of it?
No. I don't know. Let me tell you what we got going on. We got J.C. Bartok on Thursday, 8:30.
Yeah.
We got on Friday, Bill Bailey. And look, I think Bill Bailey's a fucking genius, and that's why I got to do this. Right. I got it. I really do.
I understand.
It's not very often I feel so strongly about people we have on. This guy is the real deal. You got to trust. You got to watch. You have let me find the clip. You've got to see Bill Bailey's performance in it. It's called Bill Bailey's Remarkable Guide to the Orchestra. It's on YouTube the whole hour. It's uncut. You can watch the whole thing. And I really, really, really encourage you to watch it. He's with the BBC Concert Orchestra and Ann Dudley.
So he's making jokes about them as they're playing.
He's a composer and a stand-up comedian.
Okay.
When have you heard that?
No, I haven't
right?
heard that. There's an old Robert Klein bit where he's... orchestra.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's better.
Okay.
I like Bob Klein He's fine. I think he's a better actor sometimes in the stand-up, to be honest, and that may be controversial. But
well, lately...
Rock Rubin likes Robert Klein.
Yeah, I know. Everyone loves Robert Klein, and I'm trying to be nice. Okay, so Friday we have that. Next Tuesday. Oh, I'm so pumped about this. Larry fucking Doyle.
Yeah!
Listen to this week. Larry Doyle, Lee Roomer, Peter Tolan, David Krumholtz.
Wow.
There's your all-star team.
Tuesday through Friday.
Peter Tolan returns to talk about his... script that got picked up.
Well, that and Rescue Me ends tomorrow night, which I took off. We're off tomorrow because I took it off to watch the Rescue Me series finale.
Okay. And do other work.
And I still have to get to Sons of Anarchy tonight.
Oh, you better hope someone DVR'd it. That's going to be your other fly in your ointment. I would bet money I don't have that you might not have that Sons of Anarchy on your DVR.
I'm just glad that worked out today, and I hope Andrew Friedman's all right with everything. I hope everything's cool there.
Yeah, I think so.
I think Andrew was a little mad at my outrage, if you will.
Yeah.
And we love him. We love his PR firm. We love who they've been sending to us. Look, I'm pissed. I'm pissed. What else am I supposed to do, man?
Yeah.
I mean...
That's unforeseen.
And you know why I'm pissed? Because I wanted to kill that Philip Reese interview that bad.
Yeah.
That bad. And I was angry about the Timothy Busfield thing yesterday.
Yeah.
With the echo on the call.
Two strikes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do want to apologize to Andrew and tell him it's a rare occasion I get that angry. But Blog Talk is not our friend at the moment.
No.
Let's see what else is going on. But how about that next week's guest list?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Pretty strong.
Krumholtz,
Lee Roomer, Larry Doyle, though.
Larry Doyle.
Larry Doyle is someone I went out and sought out. I was very aggressive about getting Larry.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry was very willing to do the show very quickly. Tim Busfield got back to me today, and he said he had a great time on the show last night.
Yeah, I had a great time.
And he wanted to thank everybody, and he said it was a ball.
He was the nicest man.
Thanks, Tim.
He's funny, too.
Yeah.
Funny.
Thanks, Tim.
Oh, that's your Terzo's not even any good.
You think
by the way, Brad Hock keeps emailing me.
Oh, let's address this on the air.
Where's the contracts, Alex? Did you get that taken care of yet?
Animator guy.
Yeah, and where's my Gary Cole?
And where's the
Before
Gary
you
Cole?
Change the topic to Brad, you're going to shoot Brad down real quick. Don't do that. First of all, find out about those contracts, and where's my Gary Cole?
Yeah, Gary Cole. Gary Cole rules.
The day that the
Gary Cole's doing State Farm commercials, and you can't get me Gary Cole? State Farm
is there, but is
fucking
Luisi.
Hate State Farm.
Luisi, State Farm is there, but are you?
And by the way, Pat and I are working on big things, and Caesar and I are working on some big things.
Big things.
And we'll be doing some filming this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't etched out the date. It'll either be Saturday or Sunday. I'll let you know what's best for you guys.
Either
for you as well, Steve.
During the day or what? Mr. Senator,
yeah, bring
correct.
Your tripod.
Mr. Senator, that is correct.
But
any day.
During the day?
Except Fridays.
Except for Friday nights.
Oh, so I'm really fucked on a co-host for Friday.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be here last, you know, I might be.
Really?
I might
that
be,
bad?
What? What?
Oh, he just grabbed your man boob.
Oh, that's assault, brother. Where's my sensitivity training?
I feel like I am at the Village Idiot right now.
No, this is what I was going to tell
you. I'm surrounded.
This is what I was
Sorry,
gonna...
Lee, not you, but...
What? Listen, this is what I was going to tell you. Fine, maybe you don't want to know the place that Ken Hamill told us to go to.
Nobody likes you.
Listen. Listen, Phil. You want me to drop the rest of his name?
Oh! What are you turning into Turzo over there? Getting a little mad, are we?
No.
He's
rocking the Turzo temper.
I had something good I wanted to share with you.
This is all okay. Well, all right. I'm just saying this is all I'm hearing out of Steve right now.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was going to say son of a bitch, didn't you?
Listen, Porky.
Oh, you think you're funny.
For those who think gingers don't have souls,
Steve's soulless. Well, of course.
So tell me your little Kenny Hommel story.
I hang out with my own type.
Tell me your little Kenny Hommel jam, and then we'll leave on that.
All
right, listen. Listen, you word that rhymes with bunt and starts with a C.
You mean cunt?
Well, I didn't say that. No, there's a bar called Residuals in Universal City. I thought it'd be kind of a cool place to go.
It's called Residuals?
Yes, it's called Residuals.
Only in L.A.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know.
Is that it?
Well, while you were dropping the checks off, you could go. Well, it was. No, while you're dropping. No, that would have been going on for a bit longer.
I promise people we'll be back with the news on Thursday.
We will
by
be
the
back
way.
With the news.
I'll do news at the beginning and the end. That's
the
how
end.
Much we need to do news this week. Yeah. We're behind.
We are behind. Huey Lewis.
You know what's sad is the only news I get is the weird news we do during the week.
Yeah.
So if I haven't gotten that,
yeah.
I'm newsless
you
right now.
You must think America is this bonkers place where it's only people getting lit on fire
it
and
is.
Crashing. In...
All right. So for everyone, once again, Philip Reese, Space Between, USA Network, September 11th, 8 p.m. Central. 9 p.m. Eastern. Thank you for tuning in. Adventures of Tintin this Christmas. Steven Spielberg directed Philip Reese's in that film.
Yeah.
What a gig.
What a gig.
What a great gig that is. You can pick up Survivors on DVD. I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
If you think The Walking Dead is good, Survivors is no zombies, but, well,
yeah.
That's...
Zombies are boring.
Do we consider it
no.
zombies? I don't think so.
No.
Because of the virus thing is all I'm saying.
Right.
But if you like 28 Days Later, you'll love Survivors.
Yeah.
What else is going on? I think that's it. So I'm going to leave all you guys with this. Lee, you got any last words?
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. I'm leaving on that. That's good.
Don't know about the future. That's anybody's guess. Ain't no good reason for getting lost. Buy up your pad and pencil. I give you a piece of my mind. In my opinionation, the sun is gonna surely shine. Stop all your fussing. Slap on a smile. Come out and walk in the sun for a while. Don't fight the feeling. You know you wanna have a good time. And in my opinion, nation, the sun is gonna surely shine.